You're tuned to 90.7 KRW De Las Cruces. I'm delighted to welcome Dorothy Lawson from Ethel into our studios and Robert Mirabal. Welcome to you both.
Hey, Laura. Good to meet you. Thank you.
Good to meet you both. And to talk about this very fascinating collaboration that you started a few years ago. Now, Ethel is a string quartet. I've been introducing you all week by playing some tracks from the CD. But a post-classical string quartet.
Yes.
And you play all kinds of music, often have amplifiers and other kinds of
technology
yes. as part of your concerts.
Right.
And but in the last several years, coming out to this part of the country, participating in a Native American composing project, and I guess that's how you and Robert Mirabal met and got together. So tell us about the sun-inspired music.
Well, there are, many, many threads of creative journey that come together in this work. The composition project that you mentioned is actually separate, but Robert has participated. He knows the teachers and the students who work with us every year in usually late August into early September among the Navajo and Hopi tribes in Arizona. And now New Mexico, actually. We just began this September. Over the Labor Day weekend, we were working with students in Shiprock. Had a great, great, great time out there. But the work that Robert and Ethel do together generated out of an ongoing search for cross-cultural collaboration, which I know Robert has been pursuing his whole life. I mean, his life is an integration of many, many worlds. Ethel took on a quest already 8 or 9 years ago to actually reach out to artists, master artists from other worlds, other cultures, to just see what happened when you put classically trained string players from the Western tradition together with artists who embodied fully, authorized practices of their own, but everyone being in this sort of nebulous area where there were no more rules, and to observe the parts of us all. Of course, it becomes individuals as well. It's not just large, iconic cultures coming together, but what parts of us emerged in the room and collaborated and produced really a kind of a new language, a new voice. It's unique to every single encounter. It's not something that then becomes a universal language, but the process is universal. The process of reaching out and being vulnerable to and available to assist and work on our craft is art, our craft is music, but we think it's a kind of a human model as well.
So,
Robert was one of the very first artists we approached with that kind of mission for a program that we were developing for the Brooklyn Academy of Music in New York City. And he came to us understanding completely the heart space that we were talking about. And he has been the most inspiring and valuable collaborator we've ever worked with, I'd say.
So Robert Mirabal, Grammy Award-winning flutist and drum player, composer, storyteller, and writer. Tell us from your side what this collaboration has been like, and then I want, if you can both describe what it's, what the music is like that you'll be performing.
Well, thank you for having us this morning, or this midday. For me, the relationship with Ethel it gives me a whole other perspective of my own, not just my music, but my life. Because my music is my life, and my music is a representation of my own spiritual quest or my own traditional connection to my own culture on some level, whether it's deeply rooted or whether it's on a level of conversation with one of my brothers or my Kiva sisters or something like that. And so when I travel, it's based on I've always had the mindset that since I wasn't classically trained, that the way I listen and the way I hear and the way I play would always be from an open perspective, rather than from an opinionated place. I come from a place of really listening and watching the body languages of the different people, and then to see where I fit in from an intellectual perspective, from a tonality, a place of tonality, a place of rhythm, a place of organized composition, and where can I fit in? And I started doing that mainly because it gave my flutes the opportunity to go into many different realms, from rock and roll to jazz to classical to hip-hop, all kinds of stuff. And because there was very few ensembles, that there's probably still no ensembles of just native flute. And so as a solo instrument, it's much like a lead guitar, because it has a quality of going above the melody as well as going straight into the melody, or to play a certain aspect of a bass line here or there. So that's kind of how I see it. It's more like a heavy metal rock native flute player. And so I've always tried to push myself to the next level, because I live a committed traditional lifestyle, and I'm not out in the audience, or I'm not out on stage to create this is the type of person I am. It's not. I'm just a musician here collaborating with some amazing special people here that can sustain my thoughts as a musician and lift them. And that's very rare. And so that's the relationship that I have with Ethel.
So when you, Robert, first got together playing with Ethel, I think it was about 4 years ago.
Yes.
I read 2008.
Yes, 2008, yeah.
So did it start out as an improvisation and then you developed music from there? Or is it always an improvisation when you get on stage?
Yes, both. In fact, yeah, yeah. I mean, I totally appreciate and admire the way Robert put that one of the things we've as classically trained players have really learned from Robert is the practice of simply trying to be here now, not bringing in all these rule books and formulas that you absorb and work from. They're useful. They're facilitating. But you need always to be coming right back to the moment and what is really happening and what does it feel like and what is your role in that. And so it does become less individualistic, more collaborative, more part of a community.
It's a color. I see colors. I feel body language. Like, I can feel Dorothy's tension in certain places in the music on stage.
Yeah.
There's something unique happening, yeah, it's because at first I felt really intimidated, you know, when I first started collaborating with other people with pieces of paper on a stand with a bunch of dots and lines. I really admired that. I mean, I studied the forms of music through a rhythm, not necessarily. And there's also no music written for the flutes that I play. And so, I feel them. I can feel them. And if there's something off, I have a relationship with them, so that I can create an opinion of a certain piece of music without feeling that little angst.
And you can in a way, Robert often intervenes and kind of heals us as we're going by. You know, it's like we may work ourselves into a tension or a frenzy or something that's going on, and Robert arrives and we're going, oh, that's why we're doing this. It's so exciting. It really is. It is very spontaneous. We've done it you know, consistently and long enough that I think there is a kind of a language emerging. I mean, a bond.
Yeah.
And we do well. I feel now that there is a transmission to the audience through that as well. The audience participates in the energies that we're creating. They give us so much, you know, will and love and energy to work with. It is like a ritual. It's like a practice.
Well, one thing for me that is kind of a little, you know, that I'm still working with as just as an individual, as a musician, is working with the choir. We're gonna have a choir tonight, and we've done several different aspects of the show with a choir, and still I'm still dabbling as a composer how to use a native voice structure within a Western choir. So even right now, there's a moment of doubt, and there's a little moment of fear. But then the relationship with the family that I have with Ethel has given me the opportunity to really expose myself more, not just as a Taos Pueblo man, like here's a spiritual thing, but as an actual composer of music based on a spiritual quorum that I developed many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. So it's still an evolving process. And you know, that said, it's just with the choir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is this a choir from here, from New Mexico State?
Yep,
and
exactly.
Will they be led into also just improvising, or is there
some extent? Yes, okay. Yes, and there's some beautiful pieces that Ethel has created that we collaborate with together, with the flute and the vocals and stuff. But then at the same time, there's going to be some new stuff that
yeah.
I always consider it as a world premiere because it's like, here we are, we're dabbling in some of the unknowns.
Yeah,
and when you study a linear form, you tend to get lethargic about it. But when you study it in a way that I study it, it's fresh, it's brand new, and like, whoa. So there's always that little iffy thing about like riding a wild horse or something.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. It's wonderful. I mean, you know, Robert works with energy flow so much, both in his everyday life and in his art, you know. And of course, with our training, we tend to shape it more deliberately and make a lot of very, you know, careful choices. Robert keeps us on an edge and keeps us questioning why we make those choices. What we do with the choir is we do have a few pieces that are traditionally composed and notated, and they learn them. But there are a couple of pieces in the program where Robert is teaching them, just a few minutes of practice. So this is your role in the practice. What you do with it is yours. And that's a stunning invitation. You know, you can see people's eyes open really wide.
Yeah, we've had some really top professionals just say, you know, I'm not sure about this. And it's... But that's the love of music, and that's the love of art, is the fact that we go into our fears as children, never knowing what's going to happen, but we don't know that fear. It's our adult mind that tends to develop that.
Yeah.
That
once you have a value system that you fear betraying somehow,
So I'm offering these guys a whole nother way of experiencing themselves. Not just the music, but themselves on stage. And that in itself creates a ceremony.
Yeah.
And that's what's most important, because it's the people. It's the people that are there. They call them nohulupano, the ones that fill the corners. They all are needed to create this element of ceremony.
And that's beautiful.
So really you look upon all the music you play as, in a sense, a ceremony.
Yeah, because
you're in that way, you also are including the whole audience and everybody in the ceremony. There's not the performer and the audience.
Yeah, if you want
division.
You know, if you want Stevie Ray Vaughan, just go down the pub.
Oh, he was in a space too.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just like if you want some aspect of stuff
Yeah, yeah.
What I'm creating is a spiritual form, and I don't mind saying that. I used to be a little offended,
careful.
And yeah, a little offended by myself, not from other people, but for myself, that what I'm creating is something that is much more rooted in a spiritual understanding of ourselves as human beings, mm-hmm. connected to land. Connected to all the elements that inform us, even a disease can be addressed in music, mm-hmm. and so there's certain aspects of vitality that we tend to lose because we limit ourselves by just hearing, mm-hmm. but we can actually create the spiritual ceremony of music. And I think Stevie Ray Vaughan had it.
Yeah, totally.
So did Mozart. Yeah,
right on.
Yes. I just want to go back to you, Dorothy, about Ethel, because you've said several times classically trained. I know that the original players were all trained at Juilliard, so you were trained at Juilliard. And yet, it's not as if your career has been based in the traditional classical Western music. You've really branched out and played and performed all
since the beginning.
Well, I
think the thing that unites all of us in the group is an interest in music of our time. And being able to work with people who are creating the music, who are composers or collaborators, and the classical training has been a big tool. It's been a big facilitation because our instruments have 500 years of background, and there's no need for us to try to reimagine that. We just learned it in a very efficient way, you know, to a very high level. And then the big trick was just releasing the dogma. Just saying, it's just great equipment. We don't have to use it for any particular repertoire. And being able then to engage ourselves as composers and improvisers and thinkers in our own way through that equipment was very powerful. And to, you know, approach people from other cultures who are used to being condescended to from our world, it's such a fresh approach.
I'm speaking with Robert Mirabal and Dorothy Lawson, the cellist in Ethel String Quartet. We actually only have a minute left. So if there's any last words you want to say just in terms of this interview, and then I'll reannounce the details.
Well, thank you for having us, and please come out. It does depend on you.
Yes.
We're playing for the audience. We really enjoy the energy.
And as Robert has been saying, this is a concert in which the audience being there becomes a very, in every concert, that's true, significant part of the energy that's happening between the stage and the audience, but almost in a ceremonial, spiritual way. The concert is tonight at the Atkinson Recital Hall at 8 o'clock. It's the first concert in the NMSU Cultural Series. It's the String Quartet Ethel. Dorothy Lawson has been my guest today, the cellist, one of the founding members of Ethel. Is it all the same players?
No. Actually, myself and Ralph Ferris, we are the two remaining founding members, and two new violinists, Kip Jones and Tema Wattstein, both brilliant players in their own ways.
Thank you so much to Dorothy Lawson and Robert Mirabal for coming in. The concert's tonight at 8 o'clock.